Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Sometimes the trick is to change medication.
Wow. Is that right? Some of you guys go, come on, what are we talking about?
Sometimes the trick is to change medication. You know, I'm always saying, Lord, hey, by Your stripes I've been healed, Lord. By Your stripes I've been healed. Or then I'll use this one. I say, here's another pill, if you will. It says, Lord, You sent Your word and You healed me. And there's another one in Deuteronomy. It says, I am the God that heals you. I say, I agree with You, Lord. That's right. You're the God that heals me. Well, just the other day, God gave me a different pill. How about this one, Henry? Because you guys all know this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Is that right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But how many of those afflictions does the Lord deliver us out of? It said, the Word of God says, all. 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 So guess what? It's okay. It's okay if I'm picking up the piano, going up a step, and then my back does a weird thing on me, and I have to go down, and now I'm walking around all crooked. It's okay, because the Lord delivers me out of all of those things. It's okay. It's okay if I've got a headache, because the Lord delivers me out of all those things. Is that right? It's okay, because that's the word of the Lord. That's God's word He's talking about. He said, use My word. Take My word into you and let it do something for you. So I change my medication once in a while. Amen? Come on, brother. I mean, I got to change my medication. Lord, give me something else, man, where I can say, this is what Your word says, Father. That according to Your word, according to Your word, Father, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. According to Your word, Father God, sickness and disease, there's nothing like it. Nothing like sickness and disease in heaven. How many of you know that? And according to Your word, Father, I can ask You to have that here on earth as it is in heaven. Is that right? Ooh, we're going to talk about that today, man. We're going to talk about making you uncomfortable with what you're comfortable with. Is that okay? You want to get uncomfortable with your... How many of you want to get uncomfortable this morning? Not very many. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, that's a good deal. Yeah, come on. You know what? I think it's a good thing when I can speak, when God allows me to say some words that will make folks uncomfortable. How many of you know that's a good thing? Because, folks, sometimes we need to be shaken out of the position that we're in. How many of you know that? Do you realize that? Sometimes God's trying to get us to hear something, but you know what? We're so comfortable, we don't want to hear it. Isn't that crazy? And I'm going to tell you something. The church today, the kingdom of God that's in the earth today, is a kingdom that hears what the Father is saying to His people. Do you realize that? That God is speaking to His children, not just to the pastors and the teachers, the evangelists. God is speaking to His children, saying things that's so different today than it's been before. How many of you say amen to that? How many know that God is into new things? A couple, yeah? God is into new things. He really is. Not new that gets away from His word, but new things that come out of His word that God shows us. We're going to look at those things today, because I believe God is saying some things that is important for the body of Christ. How many of you are members of the body of Christ this morning? How many of you, Jesus has died on a sin and His blood has washed you clean? How many of you? How many of you? Amen? How many is not? Raise your hand if you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking, yeah, there's probably not going to be very many of you going to be. But I will say this to you, and know this. God knows if you have or if you haven't. Is that okay? Is that a good deal? God knows. He does know your heart. And today, church, I want the church to hear this message. If you can, find a pen, pencil, something. You're going to need to take some notes on this, because I sense that this is not just going to be just today's Sunday. It's going to be a couple of Sundays, maybe even a few more Sundays, because God is trying to get the church to recognize something about who they are and what we're supposed to be doing. Is that okay? Is it okay that we be instructed this morning? Listen, I'm not a teacher, I'm a preacher. I am not a teacher, I'm not a preacher, but the Spirit of God dwells in me. Hallelujah. And He says certain things. And I might goof it up when I say it, But let me tell you, if you'll just listen, if you'll lean into the message, everybody lean forward just a little bit. Everybody lean forward, kind of lean forward. Everybody, if you'll just lean into the message just a little bit this morning, because I believe God has a word for everyone in the house. It's a cool thing because God is doing some things. I'm excited about it. I know you guys are going, what? Whatever. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Because let me just say, I do not look at things after what I see. Is that all right? Who was I talking to? I think one of the brothers I was talking to, who is as blind as a servant of the Lord? And who is as deaf as a servant of the Lord? See, I'm blind and I'm deaf. Because there's a lot of things that I see that I pay no attention to. And there's a lot of things I hear I pay no attention to. Some of you guys say, can we sit down, please? No. Hallelujah. No, listen. Folks, listen, God is looking for us. He's wanting us to move into something. And I believe we're moving into something this morning. And I believe there's an enemy that's trying to keep us and trying to keep you distracted. Everybody say distracted. Yeah. Hey, punch your neighbor on the side. Say, quit distracting me. Yeah. Stop it. Hallelujah. I don't get distracted in this message. Because I'm going to tell you something. I say, God has something for you. Every one of you, everyone that they can hear me speaking right now, He has something for you this morning. Receive it if you will, okay? Give somebody a high five and go ahead and have a seat. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Good job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys, I appreciate you. Holy Spirit, praise God. How many know this is Thanksgiving week? Are you guys ready to eat turkey? Has the turkey prices gone up? No, they're still pretty cheap. I heard those turkeys were on strike somewhere. I don't know that there might have been a little bit of a recall, is what I was being told, but. Hallelujah. I want to thank all of you that might have brought a turkey today. Rosie and I are going to be running down to the mission right after church, and we're going to deliver those turkeys. A couple of years ago, and is that right, John? I had begged for a box from Safeway. What they had in it was pumpkins. And they said, hey, you can have that pumpkin box. It's kind of an oval-shaped box that was perfect for putting turkeys in. So we got out there that morning. We put a little liner in there. We stuck a bunch of turkeys in there. And you know the turkeys are frozen. So in my bright sense of things, praise God. Everybody say, praise God. My bright sense of things, I said, hey, let's throw a bunch of ice on it. Isn't that cool? That sounds good, right? Well, by the time we got to Nogales, those turkeys were frozen. The ice was still there, but it had turned into this huge chunk of ice. And I couldn't get them out of my truck. Rosie's sitting on the side. I'm sitting them on my truck and I'm kicking turkeys. Sorry, that doesn't sound good, does it? But I'm kicking turkeys, trying to break them loose. The guy that's there is looking at me, goes, man, I wish I had a video. He says, man, so people could see your voice while you're kicking those turkeys. Get out of my truck. It was funny, man. It was just one of those things that I'll never do again. Isn't that right, John? I told you, we're not going to put ice on them. They're already frozen. They don't need ice.
That's right.
So how many of you know that the Word of God says, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Word of God says, in everything, what? Give thanks. In everything. What does everything mean? It means everything. And it just said, whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, the Word of God tells us, He says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, who you are, just to give thanks for everything. God, say, God, thank you. This is a week of Thanksgiving. So probably most of you started early this morning. I did. I started early this morning. Thank you for this day, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I have made up my mind to be glad in it. And no matter what happens, No matter what the day might bring, I'm going to sing praises to my King. I might sing, I might shout, I might dance all about, but I'm going to bring praises to my King. I'm going to thank God for what he's done. How many of you say amen to that? Thank God. In all things, give thanks. And some things are harder than other things. Is that right? Some things are definitely harder than other things. The Word of God doesn't, it's almost like the Word of God doesn't even recognize it in that scripture. It just says, give thanks, period. Do you know how important it is to give thanks to God? Do you know how important it is? Hallelujah. When you're giving thanks to God, you're recognizing Him as King of all, Lord of all, Creator of heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's not easy to say thank you. Sometimes it just doesn't roll off as easy. Is that right? When things are going really hunky-dory, really going really good, praise God. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. But things aren't going so good. It changes things. Is that right? Feels like it changes things. It almost feels like the heart isn't engaged, but nevertheless, give thanks, because that's what the Word of God says. This is His will concerning you, because He is able to change any situation. How many believe that? We sang a little bit of a song that says, trust God. Is that right? Trust in God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. How many trust God? 3, 4. 5, 6, 7. When I ask you questions like that, I'll ask and I'll wait for you to put your hand up. Hey, man. What? You don't get to do it. How many trust God? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. Keep those hands closed. Yeah, come on, boys. Yeah. It's okay. I get it. Got to be cool in church. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Don't you just love God? God is so good. How many know that? You know, somehow it feels like I just want to feel like talking to you this morning. Yeah, I just had 3 hands go up over in the corner. So, thank you for keeping up. Hallelujah. Oh, that's fun. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. How many know this? We should have fun in the house of God. Is that right? We should be able to rejoice and be glad. Is that right? Hallelujah. Not be sad, not be mad, and whatever words go with that's contrary to who we are. Oh, man. God loves us. We are loved by a God that we don't even understand. How many know that? Do you realize how big He is, how little we really know about Him? Do you realize that? He's way beyond our comprehension. Just stand outside and look around the mountains and stuff and think about somebody that could create that. I mean, it's just kind of, it's beyond your comprehension. Not mention the stars and the moon and everything else. Come on, man. We've got really no idea about the God we serve, except that He shows Himself up in some great things, sent His Son to die on a cross for us so that we could be saved. Isn't that cool? If I would have been God, when Adam took out a piece of that tree, I told him not to. Start over. Make another one. Maybe he'll listen. No. That's kind of mean, huh? But you know what? God didn't do that. Because he said in the garden when He created it, and He goes, man, this is all good. This is good. Do you know that what He does, you know His work is perfect? You guys know that? What God does is always perfect. He doesn't cut corners. He doesn't try to do it the cheap way, like I do sometimes, end up paying for it. He doesn't cut corners. He does things perfect. When He created man perfectly. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? Yeah, Adam made a mistake. Sinned, and I don't know why I'm doing this morning, because this is not about my message, is it, John? No. Come on, man. Adam made a mistake and plunged the world into sin, because after Adam, everybody took on Adam's sin. It was an inherited thing all the way up to us. It's an inherited thing until you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. then what he does is he takes those things, places his righteousness on you, and it's a done deal. It really is, if you'll receive it, if you'll walk in it. It's a beautiful thing, how much God loves us. Yet that's a lot of what he does and how he does it and where how he's going to do things, we've got no idea. Isn't that right? I've got no idea about next week. I remember sitting on my back porch, 25, 30 years ago, right after I'd gotten saved, sitting on the back porch looking around saying, things are brand new. I'm changed. Where am I going from here? What am I doing? I really had this is different. That's weird. What am I doing? Anybody ever had that? You ever had that where you said, okay, I'm changed. I'm different. I'm new. But I got no idea what's going on. I had no idea what God was going to do in my life. Had no kids at the time. Just my wife and I. And a friend that I was sitting on top of a roof one time, helping to put his air conditioner on. His name was Denny Braun. And I was sitting up there, and we decided to take a break, and we laid back, and he asked me a question. He says, do you think you're going to go in the rapture? And I said, I don't know. I'm not really sure if I understand everything about the rapture. And he told me, he says, you know, funny thing, I said, I believe I'm going in the rapture. It's cool, man. Can I tell you, that bothered me? Is that all right? That bothered me. So I started looking at the rapture, started looking at what God was going to do. And, you know, the Bible doesn't say rapture, but he does talk about the calling away of the church. And so I was looking at that, and something got in within me. Maybe it was just him. I don't know, but I think it was the Holy Spirit. He said, you will remain until I call my... just for your news... I am not expecting to die. How's that okay? Is that okay with y'all? I don't expect to die. I'm not looking forward to it. I want to be used here on the earth until God's done with me. And because I don't believe in sickness and disease as a portal for God to get me home. I mean, we got to do this on our own. Is that right? You got to believe what God tells you personally. So I said, man, God, when you're done with me, you can take me just like you took Brother Enoch. Is that okay? He was and then he wasn't. Come on, man. Hallelujah. The portal that Jesus paid to defeat, I don't have to go through that portal. That's crazy. I don't know why I'm talking to you this morning, but I'm talking to somebody because I can feel it flowing to you. I can sense this, that God is speaking to you. Know this. Know this, that what Jesus done on the cross for you, what he did on that cross, it's a reality. It's real. He paid for your sins. Is that cool? If you believe that, say amen. Give him a hand, because I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this week. Thank you for thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is the day you have made. We don't have tomorrow. We're not in tomorrow. We don't have yesterday. We're not in yesterday. We got today. And, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. You guys believe that? Say amen. Praise God. Let me try to get to my message, because it's I don't know what that was going on there, except that it felt good to me. Hallelujah. Maybe you guys are going, oh, well. If you will, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Title of the message is Thy Kingdom Come. Glory to God. Like I said, if you can, lean into this message as much as you can. Pay attention. Don't fall asleep. Even though my voice can be very... rock-a-bye, baby. Yeah, just pay attention, please, if you will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, Pastor, that's enough. 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting at verse 1, it says, And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, and when they said, Give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto you, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. I'm going to stop right there. When I'm reading this, and when I hear the words that the Lord tells Samuel, he says, they haven't rejected you, they're rejecting me. I had this almost like I felt sorry for God. Anybody ever? I said, you know what? They're rejecting him. God said, they're not rejecting you because you're old, Samuel. They have respect for you. They love you. But you're old now. And your sons aren't walking the way you are. They're kind of jacked up. God probably said, I'll deal with them later. He says, but they're not rejecting you, Samuel, because I believe the folks did respect Samuel. The Word of God says that God didn't let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Everything that Samuel said, it happened. Everything he spoke to them, it would happen. And so Samuel was very well respected in Israel. But isn't that funny? Because God is saying something here. It's almost like God wasn't respected. Is that right? Do you know how easy it is to respect somebody you can see and then totally disrespect somebody that you can't see? Do you know how easy it is? And some of you are going, yeah, I know how. Because you know how many know that we will do things. We forget that God is watching. Is that right? We forget that he's with us at all times. We forget that he says, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. And yet, when everybody else is gone, we start doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Isn't that crazy? What kind of people does that? Who does those kind of things? Hallelujah. And I feel, I got this, and I go, man, I feel, God, I'm sorry. Because they're respecting Samuel. God says that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And I can tell you something, folks, when we begin to reject God, our schools have rejected God. How many know that? And how many know that we are paying the price for that? Do you know that? We're paying the price for expelling God. And yet God says, in everything give thanks. Come on, man. Isn't that cool? But God is saying, hey, don't worry about it, Samuel. Do what they said. Ask him. Go ahead and do what they're saying, what they've asked you to do. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also to thee. Now therefore listen to their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly to them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people that asked him of a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and he will give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards to give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your donkeys and put them into his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because your king, which you have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nah, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be, listen to this, like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Hallelujah. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to their voice, make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go ye, every man to his own city. But prior to this, how was the kingdom of God? How was God's kingdom? How was it run prior to this? And God had, through Moses, how many of you know that Moses was not a king? Is that right? Do you guys know that? Moses was a leader that God had created. And I'm going to say this to you and then take this for a note, because God doesn't make leaders. Do you know that? God doesn't make leaders. God takes servants and they become leaders. Is that okay? You need to write this down, because it's important that we understand how God's kingdom works. And that's what I'm going to be talking to you today about, how the kingdom of God works in the earth today. It's not like man's kingdoms. How many of you know that? Do you know that we have been so, we have been so processed by the world. Is that the word I'm looking for? Or we have been so programmed. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you, brother. Programmed by the world, we don't even realize that sometimes that we're walking in these things. And I'm going to say this to you. This is going to sound very odd to you. It's going to sound very, very kind of maybe, how will it work? And there's going to be a lot of things that's going to come to your mind. Hold those off till later. Is that okay? Just listen to what the Spirit might be saying to the church this morning, because God is bringing in a kingdom onto this earth. We prayed for it for years. How many know? Thy kingdom. Everybody say the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory to come forever and ever. Amen. Is that right? How many believe that? That is a beautiful prayer. Jesus said, the apostles say, teach us how to pray. This is a prayer. This is the model that Jesus gave his apostles, said, pray this way. This is the way. Do this every day. How many do this every day? Come on, man. Okay. Every day. Pray this. And as you pray, do you believe what the words are saying? Give us this day our daily bread. How many like that? Come on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, Jesus told us to pray that because there's a fact of truth. I don't even know if that's right. There is a truth that the kingdom of God is on its way into the earth. I mean, can you say amen to that? God's kingdom. God's going to establish this kingdom that he set up, that he determined before the fall. Is that okay? Before Adam made the mistake, God had determined a kingdom would rule this earth. He gave it to man. He says, rule and take dominion over this thing. Oh, man. And we have been programmed, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the word, because programmed is the word that I'm looking for, that we think that the kingdom of God has to operate the way men's kingdom does, and it does not at all. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have presidents, we have vice presidents, we have this order, and you got in banks, you got the president, you got the vice president. Is that right, Linda? We got presidents, and I mean, we got all this in our military. We got generals and lieutenants and all the way down to where I would be as a grunt. Is that what they call them? Yeah, whatever. We have this hierarchy. You know, we have to realize, for we really need to know this, that God's kingdom does not operate like men's kingdoms. We have to realize that in order for us to move in the kingdom of God. Is that okay? Some of you might say, God's going to set up a kingdom, and it's going to be through men and women that believe what he says in his word. This kingdom doesn't look anything like the kingdom of men. God has always desired to rule the hearts of men, his creation. Do you know that? Do you know that God's always desired to rule by the heart? Do you know that? Even in the Old Testament, he had to set up the law so that they could rehearse the law, because in rehearsing the law, you speak the law. Is that right? Is that okay? You guys along with me? Are you going along with me? God had to set up the law so that people would speak the law, so they would rehearse the law. So as you're speaking, as you're rehearsing, as you're thinking on the law, he told them, tell them to your children, speak to them every morning as they walk by the river, as they walk by the flowers or whatever. Speak to them every morning and tell them this thing. Because in hearing, we begin to take on something that will do something. It's a change of heart. And it was even in the Old Testament. It's even there. Because God was saying, hey man, if you rehearse these things, you'll be able to hear my voice. Because you're rehearsing the words that I've given you. Isn't that cool? Because it's a kingdom that works on hearing what God has for you. Is that okay? How many know what independently dependent means? When I say that in the church, how many know what I'm talking about when I say independently dependent on God? The word of God tells us. I mean, we know that there are no grandchildren with God. That our kids need to receive Him just as you received Him, just as your grandfather received your grandmother. Our kids, we cannot force them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? They have to by instruction and come to the fact that they feel, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior personally. It's a personal relationship with God. We say it all the time. That makes you independently dependent upon God. Is that okay? You guys okay? You clear with that? Is it good? You guys all right? That's what makes it so nice. When somebody tells you, you need to be doing this and you need to be doing that, and not to be mean to them, you say, okay, yeah. You know what? God has really asked me to do something different. It's okay. Can I say that to you? It is okay in the house of God that you do what God's called you to do. Oh, you got to hear me with this. It's okay. God will call you to do something, and what you need to do is step into it. Just go do it. If God has called you to do it, I'm not going to have any problems with that. Are you going to have problems with the pastor? No. Because God's called you to do it. It's not about hierarchy. It's not about, well, pastor's over, who's over who. It's not about that at all. It's about what God has called you to do personally. When he calls you to do it personally, when you begin to step into that, you're going to find that God begins to bless that. And when God begins to bless it, it begins to bless everybody around the house. It will bless the house. And I'm not worried about that kind of stuff. Can I tell you that I'm just not worried about somebody taking over? Can I say that to you? Is that okay? Because God has called me to this. I'm doing what he's called me to do. No, they didn't give it to me. You guys have heard that, right? None of y'all gave it to me. He gave it to me. So I'm not afraid of you taking it from me, because you can't. It was given to me by God. I rejoice in the fact that I had nothing. Do you hear me? I had nothing. I wasn't worthy of this. Yet he decided to give it to me. Hallelujah. So why in the world would I be upset with anybody in the house doing what God's called them to do? Why? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Now, be very clear. God is a God of order. God's not a God of confusion. Is that right? Confucius says, starting off right there, that they're confused. No, anyway. God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of order. I like that song we say, even nature, the planets, everything is still obeying his voice. The winds still obey his voice. The waters still obey his voice. Everything around us that's in the natural is still obeying his voice. So when you're gifted by God, which every one of you are, you just might not even realize it. When you're gifted by God, listen. He places an expectation that you step into what he's given you, because it's not for you, it's for the body. It's for us. Can I tell you, I need every one of you to be walking in your gifts. I need you to be on fire with the gift that God has given you. Because that is what's going to strengthen this body. And I'm not a pastor to try to regulate and hold you down. I'm not that kind of a pastor. I trust God. I mean, how many of you trust God? Anybody? Yeah, the hands are a little better this time. I trust God. Listen to this. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful over this thing. Do you know there's a lot of pastors out there that are afraid of stuff like this? To allow people to actually move into what they do? Do you know that? Oh, you can do it. But I got to regulate it. I got to watch you. I'm watching you, Pastor. That prayer ministry is quite a covering. Yeah, yeah. I mean, no. I trust God. And I trust God if there's something going on. I've had it before. I've gotten that within my spirit where God speaks to me. There's a check, and I say, Lord, what's going on? And you look at that, okay? Or go look at it and then address it. Hallelujah. I've had that before. So I'm not afraid. If I'm not feeling a check, if the Holy Spirit is not saying something to my spirit, y'all are good. Let me come after you, man. Hallelujah. God's always wanted to rule by the heart. Isn't that right? Do you guys understand that? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to start at verse 6. Write this down, because there's some really neat stuff in this. And the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart. And then we're talking a little bit about circumcision. And scriptures in the New Testament, and actually in Romans chapter 3, it talks about the circumcision that God does is not the circumcision that's outward in the flesh. It's inside. He circumcises your heart. And it says, the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart. See, can you see that? He does that for you. Is that right? When you make a decision to love the Lord your God with all your... when you make a decision to let Jesus into your heart, what he does, a circumcision happens in your heart, and he opens an avenue for you to love him with all your heart. See, you thought you had to do it. And it's just not that way. It's crazy. Sometimes we've been taught things that, you know, that the Word of God isn't saying. Sometimes we think things that the Word of God isn't saying. So there are things that the Word of God is saying to us that God, I believe in this time, right now, is opening to the body of Christ so they might understand the full impact of who you are in Christ. He wants you to know just how powerful you are. I love it, man. And so Lord God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed. This is Old Testament, listen. This is Old Testament. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted you. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you this day. And the Lord your God will make thee plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good. I'm going to stop right there just because of the fact, listen, what we're talking about here is how did the people used to serve God in the Old Testament? When they didn't have a king, because here in the, what we're looking at is that they're asking for a king. We want a king. Why do you want a king? Because every other nation around the world has a king, so we need a king. He says, no, you have God. No, we want a king. How were they serving before? They had men of God that would listen for the Lord and would instruct them. They had the priesthood that would take care of the atonement of their sins, because every one of them had sinned. Just like before you came to the Lord, all had sinned, come short of the glory of God. They had priests that would do the atonement for them. And those priests were also ordered to teach the people the word of God. Instruct them in the things of righteousness. Instruct them in the word of God. Although Jesus had not come so that the Spirit of God could come to dwell within them, there was a provision made where God could talk to them so that their heart could begin to love the Lord their God with all their heart. Isn't that cool? And somehow in today's world, we think, well, they're under the law, so they couldn't. No, the law was to instruct them to be good, to show them what sin was. And there was so much more where God would say, and I will, if you will just listen and obey my voice, I'm going to dump blessings on you and love you and your children. Your children will have long life. Praise God. Isn't that cool? Sometimes we just think that they were in the law and that's all, you know, and because we look at Pharisees. But God had a system that was working at that time to keep them in his grace. It really was. So here's, and we're looking at that, and he says, he will rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you will listen, see that? They had the ability to hear God. If you will listen, or hearken, I'm sorry, under the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law. And if you will turn unto the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment which I commanded thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Man, I love this part right here. I just really, man, I go, well, God is saying, hey, these commandments, they're not far from you. And this ability to hear me and to love me, it is not, it's not something you can't reach. It's, look at what he says. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Well, who's going to go get it for us? God is saying, no. It's right in front of you. And see, this is the way he led the people. Just love me. Just listen to what I'm saying. You'll find that I'm a God that blesses you. Just love on me. That's how they were led. And then they had men like Joshua and the judges, Gideon and all these guys that came, that God would specifically say, this is what you're going to do. And they would follow those guys. But they didn't have a king. They were, come on, just love God. Just love me. Is all. And I hope you're getting what I said. This was the system. This was what God was doing. It was a heart system and not a, you got to do it or you'll die. It wasn't what God was saying. He said, just love me, man. Just know that I am God and I'll watch over you. And when you see me doing things for you, your love is going to grow and it's going to build. And do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? I hope you hear what I'm saying, man, because I feel that God is saying something. This was his system. This is the way he run things. He says, don't say, you know, is it not in heaven that you should say who? It is not in heaven that you should say who will go for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. Does this remind you of the New Testament? But the word is very near you, and it says, even in your mouth and in your heart, that you may what? Do it. See, God said, if you listen to my words, you speak them to your children, as you're speaking, you're hearing, as you're hearing, you're hearing my words, and those words really, really, really are conditioning your heart so that you come to a place where you realize, man, he loves us. He's a good God. And then he says, see, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and statutes and his judgments. And I said, I like this part because I said, Lord, you commanded them to love you? That doesn't work with my wife. You got to love me. Now, how many know that love grows? But God said this because he says, look, I placed something before you, good and evil. I put a choice before you, life and death, good and evil. And he says, choose life that you might live. And in your living, because you've chosen what I desire to give you, you're going to find that you begin to love me. Because he's a good God. How many of you say he's a good God? Do you guys, is anybody getting this? Because, man, I can feel it rolling around inside of me. But you can say, no, it's okay. It says this, but if your heart turn away so that you will not listen, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce to you this day that you will surely perish. Do you hear what he's saying? God is just saying, look, you just turn away from me. Guess what? You're going to perish. It's not going to be good for you. And if that word is still as good today as it was back then when he said it, it's still even more powerful today, I believe. And that you shall not prolong your days on the land where you passed over Jordan to go and possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. I just want to say something real quick right there. A lot of times we say we have free choice. We got free choice. We do have free choice. But God is a good parent. He says, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a choice. Choose life or choose death. But he doesn't stop there. He goes even one more. He says, I'm going to tell you one more. Choose life. Because that's the right choice. It's like you don't tell your children, hey, man, there's a campfire right there. It's your choice. You want to play on the fire? Mm-mm. You say, hey, your choice is you're not playing in that fire. Is that right? It's a good dad, good mom. Come on. That's what God's doing here. Doing the same thing. Choose life. That you and your seed may live. That you mayest love the Lord thy God. That you mayest obey his voice. That you may cleave to him. For listen, he said, he is what? Your life. He's your life. Today, folks, we need to realize that he is our life. Not what people think about you. That's not your life. Cool. Where did that come? I don't know. He is your life and the length of thy days that you may dwell in the land the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. It's cool. This was the system God had set up. It's a love system. I love you, man. And I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you. And once in a while, God would send judges to help them, to show them what to do and how to do it. And it was cool. And as all of you know, Samuel come along. Is that right? The priests were messing up. They were, Eli and his sons were having problems, and so Samuel come along and lived with the priests in the temple and became a man of God, a prophet that God would speak to speak to the children of Israel. And he used them mightily. But came to the point where Samuel got old, and now his kids were not walking in the same footsteps as Samuel did. They were spoiled, and I don't know what Samuel did with his kids. I don't know how he corrected that. But anyway, the people knew that those boys were not good. And they came to Samuel and they say, "We want a king." And what I want you to look at in those scriptures, when God told them to look, this is what this king will do for you. This is what's going to happen. Remember? He said, man, he's going to take your children and he's going to put them to work for him. He's going to take a tenth of your vine, before this, it wasn't happening like that. He's going to do this because he's going to set up generals over your children and they're going to rule them. Do you see how man's system began to come in to replace what God had set up? God had set up a system of loving him and admiring God. And now it's different. He set up a system where man is now in charge. Man says, hey, man, you're going to give me a tenth or else. Hey, you know what? We don't demand your tithe. I believe God wants to bless you, and he wants your tithe. That's what the Word of God says. But I will not tell you if you tithe. If you ask me why your bills aren't being paid or why things aren't happening, I'll tell you, how's your tithe? I'll ask you that. How's your tithe doing? Oh, well, we can't afford it this month. There's your problem right there. That's why you can't afford it this month. So your tithe needs to go out first. It's cool. I'm not being mean. I'm not taking an offering. So, but God has set up something, and man now has changed it. And can you see that system is what we operate under today? We've got a hierarchy that always is what we're expecting. And the Word of God is saying that the kingdom is different. Is that okay? Are you guys okay? How many of you guys are still with me? Hallelujah. God's kingdom does not operate like man's kingdom. Attempting to implement man's framework, systems, or designs in the kingdom of God so far has been so unsuccessful. Will you agree with that? Because God is into something different. The Word of God says that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There's a river. God talks about rivers and streams and waters and stuff. And I'm going to say this to you right now, that God talks about a flow. The kingdom of God is more into a flow than it is into a system. I want to show you this. Can we go to, Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 9. Isaiah 55, 6 through 9 says this. Verse 6. Oh, we'll start on verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Verse 6 says, are we stuck? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Is that a good deal? Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, right? What you thought, how you think, I would say that God might be saying some things in the scripture that maybe it's not as important as you think. I mean, hey, man, how do you feel that? But, you know, if everybody knew how I felt about this, things would change around here. Is that right? Some of us are like that. I've been like that. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Let everybody say that. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can I just again say to you that what we think the kingdom of God should be on the earth, I believe, is not what God is talking about. The structure, the design that men have made in today's Christianity is, can I tell you this? That I believe that God has a different thought about it. I believe he's got a different way. And it's always about the heart. It's always about your heart. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. No, we'll skip that one. We already did. The word of God says that, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We've been praying that. We've been asking God, bring your kingdom. But the fact of the matter is, we're not really sure what we're looking at, how it should run. How is this kingdom to be run? And God does give us an example. And Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27, let's look at that. It's awful quiet in here, but hopefully it's because you're thinking. There was a couple of apostles that had gone to Jesus and said, hey, grant us that we might sit on your right hand or your left. And it angered, after Jesus had answered them, it angered the apostles. Hey, man, that's not mine to give. Jesus told them, he said, man, but it's for he who my Father wants to give it to you, so don't even worry about it. But here's what Jesus' response is to that. He says, there was a strife also among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Talking about the kings or the presidents or the... And then he has all his setup, his structure, if you will, of my vice president and my secretary and my... He says, the kings of the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them that are called benefactors, but you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, this is what the Lord says, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that does serve. For he that is chief, I'm sorry. I got to take a break for that. My eyes are... I'm going to come over here. The lights aren't as bright. Nor are they. You shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. For which is greater? Whether is greater? He that sits at meat or he that serves? Which is greater? He that sits at meat or who serves? Who's the greater man? What's that? Which one's greater? Actually, in our world, which one's greater? It's the one sitting, right? It's the waitress coming and serving the one that's... It's like if you were serving... That's the way it operates in our world. Is that right? He's speaking about our structure. It's the way we do things. But he is telling us, and your answer was exactly right. He says, for which is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as him that what? What was Jesus' example? He was a servant. Is that right? Can I tell you that is the kingdom? Can I tell you that's the setup of the kingdom? Do you realize that? It is the servant. It is the heart of the servant. And I've asked some of the folks, which is greater? The apostle, what is it, the prophet, teacher, evangelist? What's a fivefold ministry? Which one's the greatest in those? Not one. They're all the same. Because it's the same spirit that dwells in each and every one of them. Every one of you and every me. Which one's greater? Yeah, God is a God of order. There are places. God does place pastors, teachers. But are we to hold that above everybody else and say, this is great, I'm the greatest? Absolutely not. If you want to be the greater, what did Jesus say you had to be? You had to be a servant. You've got to serve. There's folks that want to be the greatest, but they don't want to serve. They don't want to do anything. They just want to be great. Hallelujah. How many are like that? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. I see 30 of you raising your hand now. No, I'm just kidding. The one that wants to be great will be the servant. Can I tell you, this is the way the kingdom of God operates? It really is. God, with young people, listen, because I've worked with a lot of young people. I worked with a lot of young people, and I see a lot of stuff. And, you know, and young people, I love them. I love to work with young people. I love to challenge them. I love to try to get them to be who they are in Christ. I love that about young people. But can I tell you something, guys? Listen to this. Listen. Wisdom and understanding really does come. Put your hand up. Put your hands up. It really does come from the aged, from the older folks. Do you know? Do you guys get that? Because they've lived their life. They've walked through some things. They've understood some things. Can I tell you? We need to understand that Jesus, when he was setting up his kingdom, when he was showing himself and what he was doing, he said, this is the way my kingdom works. You've got to serve. You've got to serve one another. You've got to reach out and help one another. That's how you become greatest in the kingdom, because you're the greatest server. Isn't that cool? It is not the hierarchy of man. It really does. The hierarchy of man does not work in the kingdom of God. We've got to get that down. We've got to understand that, because God is saying, I'm moving my kingdom into the earth, and you've got to understand it. Because if you don't understand it, you're going to want to be great. You're going to want to be the overseer over people. God says, no. Doesn't work that way. God says, I am the overseer. We used to have up at the mine, we used to have what they call the flow chart. Anybody know what a flow chart is? The mine, you start at the pit. They blow up rock. Put it into trucks. Take it to the crusher. The crusher crushes it. Are we doing okay, John? Is that okay? Is that right? The crusher crushes it. Put it on a belt, send it to another crusher, kick it down to a little bit smaller rock, put it on a belt, send it to another crusher. They have what they call tertiary crushers. They have a primary, a secondary. Is that right? Am I right? I'm okay. And this is the flow chart. This is how this stuff works. And then it goes from the secondary into the mill. And the mill gets it. It's basically dirt, a little tiny gravel thing. It's basically dirt. And it gets on their belts, and it'll go through the system. The mills will grind it into a sand. Am I doing okay, Dennis? Yeah, is that the way it works? We've got a flow chart. And copper works, and for us to get copper, we've got to follow the flow chart. You cannot take those big rocks that John blew up and stick them into Dennis's mill and expect to get copper out of them. Is that right? Because there's a flow chart. It's a flow. And God has been speaking to me. He says, Henry, it's about flow. It's not about the structure of man. It's about me, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and his ministers that are in the earth. That's the deal. That's the flow chart. We are all ministers of the God of the universe. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? And God wants you to understand that's why he's got you here. Because the kingdom of God is in the earth, and it's in you. Jesus said it this way. I think that's one of the scriptures. And just a couple more scriptures, and I'm going to let you go, because I can see you going, oh, man, whatever. whatever. Let's get done with this. It's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. 8 through 11 says this. This is right after he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is what he says about what he does. He says, yeah, sorry. Starting at verse 10 or 11. Yeah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts. We read that earlier. But now here's what God says is, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I do. Do you see, it is like the rain. Is that right? Is that what it said? My word is like the water, the rain water. It is a flow. God says, my kingdom operates in flow. You need to operate in flow. That's what Jesus showed us when he would go every morning and he'd pray and he'd say, you know, I don't say my own words. I'm telling you what the Father told me to say, because he's operating in flow. He's operating what God gave him that morning. And do you realize this is, I believe this is not only a word for this church, but I believe that this really is a word for the whole body of Christ that's in the earth, that God is saying, my body is going to operate in flow and not in men's structure. It just doesn't work in men's structure. It works in flow. When you begin to get into the flow, everything that God tells you will fit with what brother next to you is doing. Everything that tells you is going to fit with this, because we're operating in the flow of God. Do you understand that? Isn't that crazy? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. It says, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, because he's talking about, hey, the kingdom's over here. No, the kingdom's over there. Can I tell you something? I feel like that's the way we are right now. Well, that church is doing really good over there. Well, that church over there, man, look, they got thousands. They're reaching the, it's cool. It really is good. God is doing things there. How many believe that? God is doing things in the earth. But this is what Jesus says. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, where is the kingdom? It's within you. The kingdom is within you. And it needs to what? To be exposed, right? It needs to come out. And look at the next, look at this verse. Write this verse down. This will be the last verse I give you. It's John chapter 7, verse 38. This is what Jesus said. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. See, the kingdom's within you. And that kingdom operates in a flow. Can I say, whenever you witness to somebody and you pour out your heart to them and you give them the word of God, do you know the word of God says that he that waters will be watered? He's going to pour water right back into you, because it's about a flow. The word of God says the deep calls unto deep at the noise of your water spouts. It's a flow. God's kingdom operates in a flow. Get that. Write it down. Make sure you see, put down, his kingdom operates in a flow. I'm going to tell you this one last thing that God spoke to me while he was telling me about this, because I've got a lot more to give you. I've got a lot more to give you concerning this. But God was specifically told me, he said one morning, he goes, turn it around. I go, turn it around? What are you talking about? Repent. You know, turn it around. What do you mean turn it around, God? He says, turn it around. Turn it around. I'm laying in bed. Turn it around. God, what are you talking about? Turn it around. And he said, anyone does not operate in this fashion, flow. Turn the word flow around. What's a spell? It's a wolf. It is a wolf. Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to them? Look, you operate in what I've given you. Then David say, he says this, hey, you anointed my, excuse me. I get so excited, I start slobbering. Sorry. You anointed my head with oil and my cup, what? What is running over me? It's flowing, man. There's a flow happening somehow, some ways. God is into flow. And he says anyone that does not operate in the flow is operating in their own strength, their own way. And you know what that is? I'll tell you what it is. It's a wolf. You know that Jesus talks about wolves? Isn't that crazy? So write it down. The kingdom of God does not operate in the structure of men. It operates in flow. And that's how we're going to win the world, because we are connected to a water source that says, hey, man, you know, there's one scripture. God has loaded me up with some stuff on this. Let me give you one more scripture. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says this. It says, then there will be on the mountaintops that streams and rivers of water. On the mountaintops? How many of you, anybody in the house, have you ever seen a river flowing on the top of a mountain? Have you ever? Where does the river flow? It goes around the mountain. But God says it's going to be on the top of the mountain. Do you know what that is? That's flow. He says in there that never, in this flow, never will a ship with oars go down this flow. It will never. It's not a natural flow. It is a spiritual thing. It is the Spirit of God flowing into his people and causing them to be refreshed to win the lost, to win the world. Isn't that cool? Let's stand. Praise God. How many want to be in the flow? How many are getting hungry for the flow? Thirsty for the flow? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, the flow. Be careful. Be careful of the wolf. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word, Father. Father, I ask you, Lord, let rivers, Father, flow in the desert, Father. Let streams of water flow, Father God, like we've never seen before, God. Father, do that what you desire to do. Father, we are tired. I'm tired, Father, of what we've made things, Father God. Father, will you, Father God, use us, Father God, as instruments of life-giving water to the lost, Father. Let a flow begin to roll within us, Lord. Let that flow out of the house just as you said would flow out of the house and into the streets of our city and into the folks that are around, Lord, touching them, healing them, allowing them to know how great you are, Father, for you're a good God. Father, we thank you for that this morning. We praise you for it, God. And if there's anybody in the house that would like prayer after we pray, you can come on up and we will pray for you. Pastors and we'll be here to pray and spend some time with you and speak to you. But know this, that God is desiring to open a flood of water in your spirit. Know that. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, I want you to repeat after me in church, help me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you were buried and resurrected the third day so that I might be righteous. I accept you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer this morning, I want you to know that God sees your heart. And if you said it with the sincerity of your heart, you are saved. God has done a work in your life. Hallelujah. Let us know if God has touched you this morning. And if anybody needs prayer, you can come now if you would. Otherwise, we're dismissed in the name of Jesus. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.